Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aarti Industries Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nishid Solanki from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Aarti Industries Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. Today, we are joined by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Rajendra Gogri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Rashesh Gogri, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Chetan Gandhi, Chief Financial Officer. We will commence the call with opening thoughts from Mr. Rajendra Gogri, who will take us through the performance overview, insights on growth plans, and outlook on the business. Post this, we shall open the forum for Q&A, where the management will be addressing queries of the participants. Just to share our standard disclaimer, some statements that may be made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation that has been shared earlier and also uploaded on stock exchange websites. I would now invite Mr. Rajendra Gogri to share his perspectives. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Very good evening to everyone. I welcome you to all our Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. Hope everyone is keeping safe and healthy. We have shared our results documents, and I hope that you have had an opportunity to glance through them. As all of you are aware, the financial year 2023 has been challenging from various aspects. What started with Russia-Ukraine conflict that disrupted the global supply chain transferred into an inflationary surge in input prices and energy costs. This was in addition to the slowing demand in select developed markets due to deteriorating economic scenario and very recently the banking crisis in the U.S. that sent shockwaves across the globe. Amidst all this, we displayed resilience, thereby demonstrating strong financial performance in a challenging external environment. This was possible due to our dynamic approach of building a superior business enterprise by meticulously leveraging our strengths in complex chemistry, products, and processes. We have built a strong team, both technical and non-technical, who have consistently supported us in our growth endeavor and helped us navigate through sector vagaries. Our EBITDA for the year ended up very close to guidance of rupees 1,100 crore for FY23. We achieved an EBITDA of close to rupees 1,100 crore in FY23. Our CapEx investment was over rupees 1,300 crore. Our exports were close to half of total revenues, while the share of value-added products had increased consistently in FY23. If you look at a long-term journey, our chemical business EBITDA has grown over 2x during the past five years. That is from rupees 534 crore in FY18 to rupees 1,091 crore in the current year. This is despite several challenges witnessed during the periods like pandemic and external market-led disruption, supply chain issues, as well as inflationary headwinds. This sustained EBITDA performance is testament to our vibrant business model and ability to steer growth even in the most challenging periods. We also concluded the activity related to demerger of our pharma business into a separate entity, Aarti Pharma Labs, during FY23. Since the demerger was effective July 1, 2021, the financials for the historic period prior to the scheme being adopted, that is in October 2022, had been recasted to consider the impact of demerger. Moving on to further development, we collaborated for a long-term assured offtake of nitric acid, which is a key raw material. This secures our supply for 20 years, significantly de-risks our small. On the project front, we commercialized the facility for third long-term contract and two specialty chemical process blocks in Jhagadia in H2 FY23. While our other expansion plans in existing products such as nitrochlorobenzene expansion, acid insulation expansion, etc.
Sorry to interrupt you. Mr. Gogri, we lost your audio in between. It's breaking up in between, so.
Hello? Now I'm audible?
Yes, now you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah, okay. I'll just repeat. On the project front, we commercialized the facility for third long-term contract and two specialty chemical process blocks at Jhagadia in H2 FY23. While our other expansion plans in existing products such as NCB expansion, acid revamp and expansion, NT and insulation expansion, etc., are on track, this CapEx, along with the ones already commercialized, will support the volume growth in FY24 and beyond. I will now move to financial performance. Initially, let me summarize the annual numbers. Our annual revenue increased by 17% to rupees 7,283 crore, while EBITDA came in at rupees 1,089 crore, higher by 19% over the normalized EBITDA of rupees 919 crore for chemical business in FY22, excluding the termination and shortfall income. Profit after tax stood at rupees 545 crore. Premised on strong performance reported during the year, the board has approved a final dividend of rupees 1.5 per equity share of rupees 5 each. This is in addition to the interim dividend of rupees 1 per share announced during the year. With this, the total dividend stands at rupees 2.5 per equity share, that is 50% of the face value. Let me now share the financial highlights for Q4 of FY23. Revenue grew by 11% YOY to rupees 1826 crore, with exports contributing over 48% of the total revenue. EBITDA rupees 250 crore, 250 crore for FY22, and profit after tax came in at rupees 149 crore versus 145 crore for FY22. Growth in revenue was on account of higher volume from expanded capacity for key products as well as greater contribution from value-added products. EBITDA performance was marginally impacted by maintenance shutdown at acid unit and Kutch unit that resulted in higher cost by rupees 10 crore, and also some volumes had been impacted due to the lower operating day. Products targeted at dispensary industries remained suppressed as indicated in the previous quarter. However, it is expected to start recovering progressively during financial year 24. We witnessed some normalization in energy costs while raw material prices for key inputs had increased on a QOQ basis. As highlighted in the past, we have a robust pricing mechanism in place to mitigate the impact of such volatility, and the same is being passed on to the customers, thereby protecting absolute profitability. Our PAT performance was in line with the operational performance. Depreciation stood higher on account of newer capacity added during the quarter. PAT also factors in the one-time impact of write-back of previous period's tax provision, as few matters under appeals were awarded in favor of the company. Moving on to the production details for Q4 FY23, production for nitrochlorobenzene stood at 18,842 metric tons, while the same for hydrogenation came in at 3,315 tons per month. For nitrotoluene, the production for Q4 FY23 stood at 6,130 metric tons. During the financial year 2023, we collectively entailed a capex of over rupees 1300 crores towards growth initiative outlined earlier. We are targeting an annual capex of around rupees 1500 crore for FY24 and FY25. This would be deployed towards building several products and chemistry, including chlorotoluene and downstream, which is a complex chemistry being introduced in India for the first time. Hence, here we will benefit from both import substitution as well as export opportunities for global markets. As guided earlier, we expect the volume growth to be robust in FY24 and beyond. In FY24, we expect the volume growth to be around 25%. However, due to global economic situation, part of this might be sold to non-regular markets. Hence, the EBITDA growth in FY24 will be lower than the volume growth. I am excited with the upcoming opportunities in the chemical value chain and truly believe that this is a golden decade for us. We are insistently working towards building scale for selecting high potential products and chemistry supported by our fundamental strengths and expertise. We have pioneered in introduction of several leading products and chemistries in India for global markets, and our endeavor is to continue doing that. We are optimistic and confident of exhibiting a robust growth, thereby enhancing value for all our stakeholders. Based on current business visibility, our EBITDA growth guidance for FY24 and FY25 remains unchanged at 25% CAGR. That concludes my thoughts, and I will now request the moderator to open the forum for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. The first question is from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So first question is, you have mentioned in the presentation and in your remark that you have commercialized two specialty chemical complexes at Jhagadia. So which industry these complexes will be catering to? Is it discretionary or non-discretionary? And what kind of potential revenues and margins that we are expecting from this? Thank you.
This will be also, there are intermediates going for various end uses, including both agrochemicals as well as on pigments and additives. And they are mostly intermediates, so directly we will not be able to connect to a top line.
So will these be for our internal consumption?
Yeah, part of that will be internal consumption.
Sure. And second question is, in terms of the discretionary product portfolio, so is there any change which is witnessed from Q3 to Q4? And we are 1 month in Q1, so how has been the progress over the last few months on the discretionary product portfolio? Thank you.
Yeah, globally, there is a slowdown, and because of the higher interest cost also, there is an inventory correction. So it has impacted the demand, and from customers, we are hearing that, you know, progressively the demand will increase on a quarter-on-quarter basis for different product line.
Sure. Thanks a lot. I'll come back in the queue, and best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Lokesh Mallya from SBI Funds Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. My question is pertaining to the working capital and its funding. Can you please tell me what will be the total amount of bank CC lines, non-fund-based lines, and how much would be the utilization level as on March 31st, A? B, what would be the total amount of debt that is maturing in each of the quarters of FY 2024, both long-term and short-term?
Yeah. So the bank lines, including the non-fund-based lines, would be upwards of 2,000 or 2,100 crores.
How much of that would be CC, and how much of that would be non-fund-based, and what would be the utilization?
So the CC would be, I mean, in certain cases, the lines are also fully fungible, so it will not be, I will not have a specific number, because at certain banks, it's a fully fungible line between fund-based and non-fund-based. So we'll have to assume that, from an overall basis, it will be upwards somewhere between 1,800 crore-2,000 crore of the CC, based on the fungibility which is there. And the utilization of that would be in the range of around, 1,400 crore-1,500 crore.
1,400 crore-1,500 crore out of 1,700 crore-1,800 crore, if I heard you correctly.
1,800 crore-2,000 crore.
Okay.
As regards the repayment obligations, the repayment for the year is expected is roughly around 350 crore. It will be evenly spread across the quarters.
Across all the four quarters equally?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, sir. I'll join the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anil Shah from Birla Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you... Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, my question is related to, you know, other expenses and your employee benefits. You know, while I understand your pricing mechanism kind of protects you from a gross profit or a, you know, a pass-through mechanism, but, you know, over the last few quarters, you've been mentioning that, you'll have kind of built up your, you know, your employee cost, both technical and non-technical, you know, from a next league or a next growth phase perspective. And as the top line starts growing and, you know, output starts increasing, we should start seeing these numbers, both other expenses and employee costs, as a percentage of sales to come down quite a bit. But, you know, we haven't seen that yet playing out. So could you just throw some color on that? That's my first question. The second question is, you know, is there a number that you've given for FY 2024 in terms of EBITDA growth? While you are maintaining, I believe, your FY 2025 guidance of 1,700 crore EBITDA, is there a number for 2024 that you've given? Thank you.
Yes, Chetan, you can give on the employee cost.
Yeah. So on the employee cost and other expenses, so, there's a bit of an increase because of the new capacities which just came in the second half, so that's one component on that. And secondly, on the employee cost, there's been an annual provision which happens because of the employee benefits, such as gratuity and leave encashment and superannuation, and those are there. And there is some expenses increase, and the other expense includes certain costs related to the inland logistics on account of the volume increase, which has been there in the quarter. So that has been the reasons for this. Sir, you want to address the other question?
Yeah, overall, you know, we expect the manufacturing fixed cost, which is the employee as well as other costs, should not increase much now in FY24 as well as FY25. So I think that is what we had mentioned earlier also. And regarding on EBITDA guidance for FY24, we are looking at 25%, around 25% volume growth, but EBITDA growth will be lower because part of the volume will be going to the non-regular market. So it will be lower than that, maybe around, you know, we can put number around 15%, but that more clarity emerges as we go forward on EBITDA front.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Just an extension of one of the questions that were asked earlier. Could you give a little bit more color in terms of the demand trends that you've been seeing in April and May with respect to some of your key end markets and also with respect to your, you know, domestic and export segments? And the second question was, you mentioned that you made sales to non-regular markets given the demand condition, and you also expect to do this in the next year as well. Could you just elaborate what exactly you mean by these non-regular markets? What could be the share of this in the overall mix? And what is the margin differential between your regular markets? Thank you so much.
Yeah, the demand in domestic and export market, you know, is dependent on the segment by segment. So the discretionary you know, market demand is a little bit slow still, but, you know, we have, you know, demand in the agro and the polymer markets is sustaining. And as far as the non-regular markets are traditionally lower margin markets, which we, where we can put the products. So that's the market that we are capturing, largely China or this kind of market, where we are trying to push the product. In case the demand is less from our traditional market, which can be Western market.
Vivek, you have any further questions?
Just two clarifications. So when you say non-regular markets, you mean more from a geographical perspective and less so from a segment perspective. Would that be fair?
Yeah, that will be more on geographical, yes.
Got it, sir. And any color on the margin differential between these non-regular markets and regular markets?
It can be, you know, around 10-15% margin difference.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. I'll rejoin with you and all the very best.
Okay. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening and thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is on basically our agrochemical portfolio. If you can quantify that, how much of our portfolio is catering to the products which are generics, I mean final products are generics, and how much will be probably under the patented products? The question is also coming, many generic agrochemical players globally have given a warning about the huge inventory-led losses and increasing competition from China that is impacting the global markets. So are we catering to end customers who are in a patented product or in generic, and what is the portfolio split? And are you also witnessing some this kind of pressure in your agrochemical basket as well?
Yeah, we will not have an exact bifurcation between the patented and generic, as we have both. But still, I think overall generic will be majority in the value from on overall agrochemical basket. And as I mentioned even in the last call, this agrochemical demand slowdown because mainly because of inventory correction, high because of high finance cost, is more also on product specific also? So some of the products that we are seeing that kind of demand slowdown, but it is not, you know, across the board for all the products.
So even in our portfolio also, some of the agrochemical intermediates, the demand you see that is getting impacted.
Yes.
Okay. So if we impose this challenge in FY24, we are still struggling from the recovery in a consumption-led sectors like textiles, like paints, pigments and all. Agrochemical may pose some challenges in the current scenario. Do we see that FY24, I mean, for you, or what will be the driving this growth if all these sectors are facing the headwinds right now?
Now we'll be able to increase our overall volumes. I think volumes will drive the growth.
But sir, end user industry demands across our segment still remains weak. So
yeah, some places we should be able to pick up the market share. So I think where there is some import substitutions are there, or where customers want to bifurcate this diversify, so some extra market share will be picked up.
So irrespective of demand challenges, we are confident that even from the market share gain, we will be able to grow in FY24 as well as in 25.
Yes.
Sir, second question is on this: raw material prices have started falling, including energy costs globally, and also in oil-based derivatives. We have seen that in last couple of years, with the energy crisis going up continuously in Europe, there were many customers in Europe also was looking an alternative for the domestic manufacturers. Do we see that the trend is reversing now with the Europe witnessing the energy cost normalization? Also across the raw material prices have started softening. So do you see that any trend reversal has started happening, or still we see that even the competitive cost structure which Europe has earlier enjoyed because of low gas is over now and the opportunities are there for the countries like India?
Yeah, basically what will happen is that in the future, this energy intensive products, there will be less increase in manufacturing in Europe. Because in general, there will be a fear of, you know, higher energy cost in Europe. As far as the existing manufacturing facility in Europe, I think definitely because of this decrease in energy prices in Europe will benefit them. But on a long-term basis, you know, the energy intensive product growth in Europe will be curtailed.
Oh, thank you, sir. I'll come back to you for the follow-up question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khaitan from Smith's Institution. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, first question was on the CAPEX side. Sir, we had given a guidance of 1,500 crore. I believe, sir, so during the last quarter and even during the plant visit, so we were given a guidance of around 1,200 crore CAPEX. So there's an upward revision of CAPEX, which we have done now.
No, we will be also doing this in our zone 4 also. So combined guidance we have been having for FY24 and FY25 about 3,000 crores.
Okay. So this has been like, earlier we were giving a guidance of around 2,500 crore capex for the next 2 years. Now we have given a guidance of 3,000 crores.
No, even last con call also we had given 3,000.
Okay. Sir, or in any of the basket of RC industries on the portfolio side, are we witnessing any sort of increased competition from China? Because there has been huge dumping which is happening from China right now in many basket of commodity and specialty chemicals. So are we witnessing pain in any of the portfolio in any of the product side, and there has been like increased competition and we had lost any sort of market share?
No, I think that because of the general slowdown, that impact was there. But we are not seeing any increase in that
currently?
Okay. So we have maintained our market share. So despite, like, if there is an increase of competition.
Yes.
Okay. So just one more question onto the non-regulated market. As you have said that, so these markets are generally having lower margins. So how much share, or you can say how much percentage would this be contributing to our overall basket?
Yeah, generally, you know, whenever, you know, we are not able to put in regular market, we try to go into a non-regular market. So percentage we will not be able to. It will be more on a product to product and also over a time to time. So it will be maybe around 5-10%.
The 5-10% of the total you're talking of?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And so just one last question, sir, onto the NCB side. So when will this expansion get commercialized?
Yeah, we'll get commercialized in Q1 of this FY24.
Okay. So volumes will start from Q2?
Yes.
Oh, good. Thank you, sir. That's it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. Just a few clarifications. One is with regard to the specialty chemical blocks, the two of them that have been commissioned. So, you know, is this part of the 607 crores of CapEx in the downstream and specialty chemicals that we had disclosed in our presentation at the, you know, plant visit? I was under the impression that these would be revenue-generating. So is that not the case? And if you could please just help us with how much, you know, CapEx has been invested in these two blocks, and how will those contribute in terms of either revenues or margin expansion for us?
Yeah, that will be around, you know, 300 crore out of that. So partly it will be for captive, and partly it will be for outside sales. Exact number on the sales I will not have on that.
But I mean, in terms of, say, EBITDA or EBIT, you know, rather the payback period on this CapEx, would there be a rough number you could share with us?
Yeah, this should be, you know, around, you know, 25%-30% EBITDA range.
These are backward integration for our existing intermediates, is it? Because I don't believe we make active ingredients at this point, right?
No. Actually, this is one of the product on this, our chlorobenzene chain, the 2,5-dichloronitrobenzene. It will increase the capacity, and it will open up, free up our current nitration capacities in other location, which will be then used for other products. So, that is what is one of the process block. So there will be a shift. We'll be able to add new products in other line, and this 2,5-dichloronitrobenzene capacity will get expanded in this line.
Okay. Okay. Second one, just on the non-traditional markets, where you mentioned that these are at 10, 15% lower margins. So just wanted to understand it clearly that suppose in our traditional markets, we are making, say, 15%-18% EBITDA margins. In the non-traditional, are we sort of indicating that it'll be 10 points lower, like, say, you know, 5%-8%? Is that the range, or am I getting it wrong?
Yeah. So this, if you see on the gross margin, the price level is on that per, lower in that range.
Okay. So it's 10-15 percentage points.
Yes.
On the OpEx numbers, sorry, the employee cost and the other expense numbers for the quarter, you know, adjusting for this maintenance shutdown, is this a reasonable run rate to sort of trend off for the rest of FY24 now?
Yeah, I think that should be the run rate. Maybe a little lower than that.
Okay. Okay. Lastly, for Chetan bhai, just the tax rate guidance for next year, you know, would there be any change given the low tax rate we have had in the past year?
So I would assume the tax rates to be around 15%-17% kind of thing for next year as well.
fine. So sorry, just one other last thing. I missed the volume numbers that were shared on the call earlier. If you would be so kind as to share them one more time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so NCB was, nitrochlorobenzene was, 18,840. Hydrogenation for the quarter, hydrogenation was 3,315 tons per month. And nitrotoluene for the quarter was 6,130.
Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for taking my question. Wanted to know your thoughts on how the inventory situation right now is shaping up. What you are hearing from your customers and overall what the outlook would be for Q1 and Q2, as we are hearing two different views from other companies that for some is the situation getting normalized, and some are still saying that it will take another maybe one quarter. So how you are seeing this situation?
Yeah, currently at least Q1 definitely there is a pressure on because of the inventories, and as we mentioned, you know, it will be a progressively, I think the situation will improve on quarter on quarter.
Okay. And it is across your agro and polymer both side, or is there any weakness there?
Yeah, both side basically.
Okay. And secondly, on the raw material side, as we are talking about that crude has corrected in the recent time, but if we look at the benzene prices, it has been slightly on the higher side as compared to crude. And I believe the increased demand and a bit of demand supply shortage would likely to keep benzene prices on the higher side going forward as well. So how we should see this for us going forward?
Yes, we know we have a benzene, normally the benzene pass through. So this benzene price variation generally will not have any impact as such.
Okay. That's it from my side. I'll come back in. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Thakkar from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, first, just a clarification to Abhijit's question. You mentioned that the quarterly OP run rate will be similar to what we witnessed in Q4. But before that, you highlighted that there will still be 15% OP growth. How do both of these tie up?
15%?
For FY24, you mentioned volume growth can be 25%, while OP growth will be lower, but still a 15% OP growth number for 24.
Operating profit.
No, I think you mentioned the expenses, not the profit, right?
No, profit, sir. So our exit operating profit is lower.
Oh, okay. No. I thought this Abhijit asked, I thought was more on the expenses side as a run rate.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
The second is more on the cash flow side. So if you look at the capex that you're doing and the cash that can be generated, so fair to assume you'll still be adding on to debt over the next 2 years?
Yeah, I think there'll be additional debt. So this capex will be partially funded by internal accruals and partially by net.
Okay, sir. Sure, sir. That's about it. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Gadekar from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So we have mentioned that we are looking at 15% EBITDA growth for FY24, which broadly implies we are looking at roughly 40% kind of EBITDA growth for FY25. So can you just give a brief color on what will drive this EBITDA growth in FY25 and what kind of volume growth are we looking in FY25 for this kind of EBITDA growth?
We expect, you know, that whatever some volume which will go to a non-regular market in FY24, so that should get corrected by FY25. So that will be one driver, you know, which will be for, you know, additional EBITDA coming out of that. And over and above this 25, another 15-20% volume growth, which we'll be looking at the FY25.
Okay, so got it. So secondly, in terms of now, given that we are speaking in terms of volumes, can we just get a broad color at how has been the volume growth for FY23?
FY23 number, Chetan, now?
Yeah, so FY23, the volume growth is upwards of 15%.
So even this year, we have switched something to the non-regulated market looking at our EBITDA numbers for the last 2-3 quarters?
Yeah, especially the Q4 part of the material had to be sold to non-regular market.
Okay, so got it. Thank you.
Siddhartha, are you done with your questions?
Sorry.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Tiwari from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My question was related to the volume growth that we spoke about in FY24 and 25. So if you could please be kind enough to highlight the capacity which would be adding to this growth in volumes which we have recently commissioned over 23 and perhaps we'll be commissioning over 24. So if you can just enlist those capacities which will be coming up or which have already come and will be contributing to this volume growth.
Yeah, this FY24, our nitrochlorobenzene plant expansion will be completed and some other specialty chemical block. And end of FY24 and early FY25, our acid division capacity will be expanded by around 22%. And our ethylation plant tripling of capacity will happen in FY25. And nitrotoluene debottlenecking also will happen in FY25. So these are the expansion which will come up in FY24 and FY25. And what has been commissioned in this FY22 and FY23, so that further ramp up in those facilities which will drive the growth for FY24 and 25.
Understood, sir. And sir, lastly, just confirming that our guidance of 1700 crores for FY25 at operating level, that guidance is maintained. Like, there is no change in that guidance.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tim Bassinitz from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sorry. This is Ritesh from Morgan Stanley Investment Management. Sir, just to kind of, I was just looking at the numbers that you guided for and then was trying to back calculate. So when you say 25% volume growth and you say that, let's say the incremental volumes all go into a business which probably is at a 10% lower gross margin, and let's say 40% is a blended gross margin, that's a 25, you know, in addition 25 rupees of volume effectively goes at 30%, so it implies the 8 rupees fall through to EBITDA. And your EBITDA margins are hardly, let's say, 18-19%. So 8 rupees extra on 18 rupee EBITDA margin base, which still implies, a, you know, assuming your employee costs and their expenses are flat, still implies a 50% growth in your EBITDA. So I'm just trying to see where is the, what am I missing in terms of your guidance on volume and then the EBITDA growth delta, because you also said that OPEX will be flat. So either OPEX will not be flat or either your volume growth rate has to translate into similar EBITDA growth from there.
I think OPEX, actually, I do not have a direct Q4 number. So exactly how much was the OPEX in Q4. But overall, we are not looking much increase in OPEX in FY24 and 25 on an annualized basis. Not much significant increase in OPEX. And another thing is the entire 25% is not going to go in a regular, just non-regular market.
No, sir, I'm saying even if I assume everything is moving into non-regular market, it still implies, let's say, if there was 100 rupees of volume you're doing, if you're doing 125 rupees of volume next year, and it's a 30% gross margin business, you still make 8 rupees extra gross margin. You had about 18 rupees of EBITDA. If that 8 rupees completely falls into your EBITDA of 18 rupees, it still implies more than 40% growth. So I'm just trying to understand where the math is failing.
I think that you'll have to connect with Chetan separately on that. I think that will be a better idea. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Patra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity, sir. I missed the opening portion of the call, sir, so there could be repetition. So, sir, in fact, I wanted to know, let's say, considering the multi-year supply pack, so what is the cumulative revenue that we have we would have booked in FY 2023?
For the multi-year contract or the long-term contract?
Yeah. All three long-term contracts put together. See, you are not sharing individually, but at least, all three put together.
I would not have that number readily with me. I will separately share it out.
Okay. My next, so basic, reason for that question was that I was trying to understand, sure, when you are saying, sir, 25% kind of a volume growth, for FY 2024, then what portion of that growth is coming from the ramp-up in the, these three contracts? And excluding of this, what is the kind of volume growth that we are building for our base business?
Yeah. So the base business also, this contract three was just commissioned in
Right.
Q3 of this year, so virtually not any significant volume coming from Q2, contract three, so that everything will go into a growth portion. Contract two is more of a flattish, whereas contract one, you know, we are around, you know, 20% utilization, so that may go to, you know, maybe  30%-50% utilization. The other, our other volume growth will come both in nitrochlorobenzene and nitrotoluene side also, and on chlorobenzene side also. So all those, which are not connected to the contracts, all of that, you know, and the downstream will see volume growth.
But when we are saying, sir, nitrotoluene, so large part of the nitrotoluene-led growth is expected to come in 2025, right? I mean, FY 2025, right?
No, that is for the expansion, but the current year, you know, our annual production in nitrotoluene on an annualized basis was lower. We expect that on a annualized numbers to be higher next year.
Okay. Okay. And may I know, let's say, the cumulative revenue potential of all these three long-term contract is kind of 1,000 crore per annum, right? On a-
Yeah, yeah.
So by FY 2025, let's say, what is the kind of utilization level that we are anticipating out of this 1,000 crore, sir?
As we mentioned, the contract one is, you know, is basically that is where, you know, originally we are thinking we'll move towards 70% or so. That is still on a more, on a lower side.
Okay.
Whereas, contract, third contract, you know, we should be reaching about 60%-70% of that, utilization in, FY 2025.
Okay.
Second contract is more of a flattish kind of a thing.
Okay. So that means, for second contract, are we saying, sir, it will still be having a kind of 50%-60% kind of inflation only till 2025?
That is not much linked to our returns, are not much linked to the actual utilization.
Okay, okay. That's it. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Sir, second question is on, let's say, on the margin expectation for 2024. So here I'm just trying to see that the quarterly performance also, let's say. I mean, so the gross margin front, there is no issue that what we are finding, but it is the elevated cost. So that is what is dragging down the margin performance. So going ahead, let's say, if we see some moderation in the cost, overall cost, and that way, even the revenues are also likely to come down accordingly. So then percentage-wise, the OpEx that is likely to remain elevated only. So given that understanding and the, there is no greater change that we should see in the gross margin, so then the margins are likely to remain suppressed only even for FY 2024. Is my understanding right, sir?
Basically, there will be a volume growth, and as the volume growth, but part of that, that is what we are saying, that it will not go to, it will go to non-regulated also. So the entire benefit of volume growth will not come. That's why the EBITDA growth will be lower. That is the broad thing. On an OpEx basis, exactly, I think we'll have to see the number. Yeah.
Okay. And just last one, sir. See this, the shutdown what we have taken in the fourth quarter, it is the specific period, I mean, it is annual shutdown, and that happens in the fourth quarter always, or how is it, sir?
Acid division is down.
Yes.
Our crush division was more of an opportunistic, it's not an annual shutdown. But we had to do a lot of asset maintenance and revamp. So, for that, we have taken. Yeah.
Okay. Just last one, sir. This MEA expansion, the ethylation one, so we are multiplying the capacity. So we have already utilized, means, of the current capacity, we have already utilized majority of it. And, so when we are talking about the full utilization of the expanded unit, so why are we saying, FY 2025 is the period when the money will be really realized or business will be really realized out of that expansion? Because the entire one year is there, and we have been seeing a kind of good progress on the MEA side. So anything that you are finding any difficulty in ramping it up or anything, sir?
No, it will get be commissioned in FY 2025, no?
Okay.
The expansion, we're going to get commissioned in FY 2025. That's why there will not be any increase in volume in FY 2024 coming out of that plant, that expansion.
Okay. Okay. Sure. Okay. These are the questions, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Muchhal from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. You commented earlier that there is, you see excess inventory in the system. So I'm just trying to clarify, is it the products where that you manufacture or the products, the final products where your products go? Where are you seeing the excess inventory, or is it they are the both ends?
No, actually, it goes from the ultimate customer and that back-end entire supply chain. Because of this high interest cost and all, you know, people are trying to, you know, reduce the inventory in the supply chain. It is coming more from the customer side back end.
Okay, so their products are facing excess inventory, which is causing an impact for your customer.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
So it's not, so I'm just trying to understand, it's not at the both ends. I mean, not, it's not that your products are also facing excess inventory and the final products are also facing excess inventory.
Both are actually connected in the chain, no? So because they, their side, the inventory is built up, so they are, they want to postpone for few different customers for, you know, different weeks or months, they want to postpone the purchase. That's how they were trying to reduce their inventory.
Okay. And so, when you're guiding for this 15% upwards of approximately 15%, as you mentioned, on 25% volume growth, are you also building in the benefit that you will get because the OpEx is likely to reduce? Last year, we had higher coal cost, higher freight cost, everything, which has normalized significantly. So does your guidance, I mean, 50% of your products, 50% of business is exported, I believe you would have got impacted there. So, does your guidance factor in that benefit that you will get because of the reduction in cost?
Yeah, generally, those are also direct costs. Coal and freight costs, a substantial portion of that gets passed on to the customer.
Okay.
And part of the benefit remains. So that part benefit we are counting. But generally, you know, even whatever the huge increase in ocean freight took place in FY 2021 or 2022, we had to pass on because we cannot bear those kind of costs.
in that sense.
So lastly, when you mentioned that there is a margin difference of about 10-15% in the non-regular market versus the regular market, this is at the EBITDA level or the gross profit level?
Gross profit level, yeah.
Gross profit, so, okay, got it. Perfect, sir. Thank you so much and all the best. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pujan Shah from Congruence Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. First of all, my question would be on the, as we have presented, we are showing a growth strategy and we are saying that we are being something developing in battery chemicals, electronics, chemicals and new age. So can you just give a broad way, what are the types of products, how the market share is evolving and when we have been ramping up all this capacity and revenue stream will be coming on, like in which year specific?
Yeah, our existing product line, all this expansion will get over in FY24 except the ethylation and that volumes will come up. But the new one at our zone 4, chlorotoluene and multipurpose plants, that commissioning will start from FY25 and the major volume growth from that will come from FY26 onwards.
And what are the market, like how is the market evolving and what are you seeing on that part, like how the demand will favor, is the demand will be favorable for the our company and compared to global competitors like China and XYZ?
Yeah, the product line what we are putting up there, basically they are in general growing globally between 3 to 7-8% growth rate.
So any ballpark estimation market sizing, any idea like if you can give to?
So chlorotoluene what plant we are putting, you know, the capacity for us will be around 20% of the global capacity.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arijit Malakar from Ashika Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. My question is that what asset turnover you are expecting in FY25 and beyond post ramping up of the capacities?
Asset turnover generally will all depend on the benzene and toluene prices. Direct asset turnover will be more towards still, I would say, around 1.5 kind of thing on a gross block level.
Okay, thank you. That's all for us.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Khaitan from Smith's Institution. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, first was on to the PDA volume. Sir, we have not shared that volume into our opening round. And secondly, sir, what would be the breakup of exports and domestic for FY23?
The PDA volume for the quarter is 348 tons per month. And FY23 exports was roughly around 48% and domestic is 52%.
Okay. Just a question onto your working capital. So in this FY23, we had witnessed that the cash conversion cycle has been almost 110 days. I think this number is close to 2016-17 level. So this is the so working capital has been drastically went down in FY23. Is there any particular reason like there has been sharp dip into your into the receivables and also into inventory days also? Any particular reason you foresee and what would be the rate which we can take for the next 2 years?
So on the receivables, certain product profile, the product mix change has moved to a bit of a product where the working capital, the receivable credits are lower than what used to be historic. So that product mix change is benefiting on the receivables front. Plus, on account of demerger, historically the pharma business had a bit of a higher working capital, both on the inventory as well as on the receivable, which posterior to the demerger got reduced from the Sarthi's number. So that is where you are able to see the decline on working capital as well.
Okay, got it. And just one more question on to our first long-term contract, so terminated contract. So currently, I believe it is operating at around 20-25% utilization, and Gogri sir has mentioned that it would be at around 70% by FY25. So just want to know, so the intermediate what is used to make this dicamba, so 2,5 DCNB, so that currently what is the utilization level?
No, that was utilized 100%, and now the new plant will come up, there the further ramp up will happen.
Okay, so DCNB we are operating at around 100% level, you mentioned.
Yeah, it was, we are making it at another location, and now you know it will be starting in Jhagadia, and other location nitrogen facility will get freed up.
Okay, and the 70% utilization, so for the next 2 years there would be like, so this business would grow at a much faster rate, this for long term.
Yeah, that is, this is still, you know, on next year FY24 it is 30-50, and then we see that how it can be further ramped up.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Yeah. Thank you everyone for taking out the time to join us on our Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. Hope we have addressed all your queries. If you have any further questions, please feel free to contact our investor relations team and we'll address them. Stay safe and we look forward to connecting with all of you again in the next quarter. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Aarti Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.